Welcome to Ink Drinkers,
a literary tea party podcast
where we discuss books
and drink tea.
So I had a dream last night that I was back in Orlando and back in college, but I didn't really realize that I was back there for college.
Right.
I just thought I was just back hanging out in Orlando, and then I realized that I was enrolled in like five classes and I hadn't been going. And I like checked my grades online and it was like 68% in all of them. And I was like, oh God, what am I going to do?
It's always such a bad dream. I feel like I have that dream pretty regularly.
Pretty frequently.
Like I'm either in high school or college and I'm enrolled in like a science or math. And I'm like, I haven't been going to that.
Yeah.
Like I didn't realize I was in this math class. And like, how am I gonna pass? And
yeah,
and I'm anxious, but I'm also just like, well, I don't know.
Yeah, I just gotta like, figure this out.
It's much less than real life would be. Like I would be like so crazy, but I'm just like, well, I guess I should start going, but I don't know how to go and I don't know where it is and I don't know anything about it.
I've had a dream before that St. Joe's, our high school, came back and said that like our whole grade had to redo senior year for some reason.
I'd do that.
And I was like,
I'm into it.
I was like, what, are we all supposed to just quit our jobs for a year? Like, how is this going to work? I don't understand. That'd and they're like, you just fun. Have to figure it out. Can you imagine all of us going back?
No. It honestly would probably be, I think people would be nicer. And
do you feel like people were mean in high school?
I don't know that I would say mean. I think people seemed a little
catty.
Stuck up.
Yeah.
And just kind of, you know, your children. You care about things that you don't care about later, you know?
That really don't matter.
Yeah, that don't matter.
Yeah.
And so I just think, I don't think it'd be interesting. I think it'd be fun to have like a weekend where we all went back and we didn't like do classes, obviously, but right. We just kind of hung out and I don't know.
Had all our old teachers.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun to see like how things worked out. I mean, I guess that's what they do when they have socials and stuff.
Yeah, but
I enjoyed the social that we went to. I wish she would have come.
I know. I wish I would have too, but it just like totally like slipped my mind.
It was fun. It was a wine wine pairing, and they did like a tasting with like cheeses and stuff. And then she's the lady that did it sent us the notes after so that we would know where she got the wine,
wine,
what cheese she paired it with, where she bought the cheese in town, stuff like that. So that was kind of cool.
Do you remember during COVID they did like a wine and cheese pairing, but it was like at home? And
no.
So Megan and Stephanie and I did it, and they like sent, or you had to go pick up your wine and cheese from the school. And I think I picked up all three, and then they came over to my house and
that's
we watched
neat.
The Zoom together, and we ended up like not watching the Zoom and not paying attention. We ended up just drinking wine and eating cheese and catching
up.
But
that's still really fun.
But it was really fun.
That's a cool concept. I don't remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. They also did like an at-home painting class. Like they actually did a lot
St.
of
Joseph's?
Stuff.
Yes.
Really? They did a lot of stuff. They did that Sister Agatha's brownies.
Oh,
baking
I
thing.
Remember that.
Yeah.
I remember
it
that.
Was, they did
that's
a good job.
Cool.
I know.
That's pretty cool.
I know. Okay,
well, we're eating biscuits right now,
but
with
like
our
American
tea.
American biscuits.
American biscuits, yes. Well, we're not British, so our biscuits are, you know, fluffy scones,
basically.
But we're just here having a cozy morning, eating our biscuits, drinking our tea, and we're about to talk about books.
Yeah, and we've been looking at bookstore logos.
Yeah, I mean, what better? I don't know about anyone else having a better morning than us. So
I really can't imagine it.
No. And also looking at bookstore decor, such a fun thing to do.
That will hopefully one day become a reality.
It will.
I know. I was looking at like all the Independent Bookstore Day posts and stuff like that on Instagram. I was like, man, hopefully next year that'll be me hosting Independent Bookstore Day.
Really, though.
Yeah, really.
I know.
Yes, for real.
I mean, it's fun to think about.
Yeah.
as we chew our biscuits.
I know. Nom, 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 nom. Okay, I don't know who goes first.
I think me.
Okay, all right, we'll go for it then.
Sure. So I know I told you this before we started, but this wasn't a 5-star for me, unfortunately, but we're here to talk about books that we really liked and books that weren't quite for us or that didn't hit the mark.
Or whatever we had time to read.
That too. This is The Heiress by Rachel Hawkins. I think it came out this year.
Is she a thriller writer?
Yes.
Okay.
I was kind of in the mood for something thriller-esque instead of a rom-com or something a little lighter. I was just like, yeah, I'm into it. And I just kind of missed it. I think I've read novels like this before that were better, that were done better. And maybe if I hadn't read those, I would have liked it a little bit more. Good elements. It had a bunch of different narrators that narrated the characters, which I sometimes like. And it was okay, but it wasn't like fantastically done, in my opinion.
It's really hard to impress me with a thriller these days.
Yeah.
And like my sister-in-law posted about Listen for the Lie.
Yeah.
On Facebook, and she's like, this is the best book I've read in a very long time. And I was like, okay, I liked it until the end.
I haven't read it.
Didn't work for me. I know you haven't, but I'm like, I just can't.
Yeah.
It's usually the ending that I'm just like, this is good. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think I was just, I wasn't immersed in this. I was a little bored at the beginning, and I don't know if that was just the pace of it, you know?
Yeah.
Once I lost interest, I just couldn't get back into it. But this is about, so there's a couple of different characters. Cam and his wife, Jules, are kind of in the current time frame. And then Ruby is his adoptive mother. Her name is Ruby McTavish. And she was married 4 times. So it's Ruby McTavish Callahan Woodward Miller Kenmore.
Okay.
Uh-huh. All of her husbands died in different ways.
Mysteriously.
So since her last husband was Kenmore, they called her Mrs. Kilmore since all of her husbands were dead. So she is the wealthiest woman in North Carolina.
I guess so, if you took all those rich men's money.
And she already came from money.
Yes, McTavish.
Yes, and the McTavishes own Ashby House, which is actually her mother's maiden name, so it's her mother's money.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
and it's this mansion that's near the Biltmore.
I was going to say, it sounds like it's supposed to be Biltmore-esque.
Right, but there's no, like, tours. You can't go there. Like, they live there. That was their home kind of thing. But over the years, it hasn't been fully kept up because that's a lot of money that needs to go into that. Ruby has since passed away. It's been about 10 years since she passed, and she left Cam everything. And he has not touched any of the inheritance money. He left when he was 18 and was like, good riddance. These people are awful. I don't want to have anything to do with this family. I think he loved Ruby, but the family members, the McTavish family, are just money hungry psychos. Okay. And so he always felt really unwanted. So she adopted him after like all the husbands had died and decided that she wanted to have a child.
Gotcha.
And he was, I think, 3 at the time she adopted him, and all of his cousins and the aunts and the uncles were really mean to him because they were like, he's going to inherit our inheritance and he's not even a member of our family. And so they treated him as such.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. And Ruby, you know, tried to give him all the things, but she was a little messed up herself, and so it just, his childhood was a little traumatic.
I can imagine.
Yeah. He lived in like this mansion, and his room looked like it was out of an old lady's nursing home. Like, he even mentioned, he's like, it looks like an assisted living home. It was, you know, like a canopy bed with matching drapery that was like mauve, and it was just like a 12-year-old boy, like, what am I doing? You know, but like nothing could be changed because it was Ashby House.
Of course.
The traditions and all this stuff. So he leaves. He now lives with his wife, Jules, and they live a simple life. since she's been passed on, he keeps getting messages from the family members asking him to, like, settle things because he hasn't fully done all the things he needed to do when she passed. They're still living in Ashby House.
Oh.
Yeah. And they message him when they need money for things to repair. Of course. Yeah.
Ugh. Awful.
Yeah, it's pretty awful. So the people that are remaining are her sister, Nell, and her grandchildren, Libby and Ben. And most recently, her son has passed away. He was like an alcoholic and he got in a car accident and he passed away. So since he passed away, Ben, the cousin, has been reaching out to him being like, you really need to come back and get everything in order. Like, things aren't finalized here. And he knows that they're trying to get him to hand over everything because they have made pretty clear that they don't think that he deserves it and that it should have gone to their grandmother, Nell.
And not, then down to them.
And then down to them and not to Cam, who's, right, like, no relation to them. Jules has been, like, pressuring him to go because she wants to, like, see Ashby House. And she thinks that it's kind of neat. And in her mind, it's theirs. And, like, they should kick out the, right, remaining people and, why, stay there. But she hasn't, there, like, told him that because he's made it very clear that he doesn't want to have anything to do with it. And it has bad memories for him. So she gets him to go. And we also have an aspect of the story where we're hearing Ruby read out letters that she's written. We don't know who that she's writing to initially, but she's telling her story of every husband that died and how they died and what happened and what the aftermath of those situations were.
The four husbands of Ruby McTavish.
Correct. And so we start to hear, you know, what actually happened. Another thing of note, this is like one of the biggest things, I guess, in the storyline, is that when she was 3 years old, she was on a picnic in the woods with her family near Ashby House on the property, and she was kidnapped.
Oh.
And she was gone for months. And they found her with like a man who, I don't remember if he did like landscape for them or something, but she was living with his family. And he said that his wife had a daughter similar to Ruby's age named Dora that died. And his wife was so distraught that when he saw her in the woods.
Did he stole a child for his wife?
That's the story.
Okay.
And so they finally get her back. And his wife was already pregnant with Nell at the time because they were, like, going to
replace Ruby. Stop. Ugh, this
and
is
so Nell up. Has already had issues with Ruby her whole life because then Ruby came back into the picture and then she was kind of an afterthought.
She was the spare.
Yeah. So there's just lots of resentment, lots of family trauma. They're all spoiled. You know, so there's some revelations that come about that I kind of picked up on.
Right.
But I guess I could see how you wouldn't pick up on it. And
if you're not an astute reader.
If you're not, you know, aware, you don't read regularly in mysteries. But right away. No, I'm doing Trump. right away, I knew. I knew who it was. So yeah, I mean, it's your regular thriller.
I'm sorry. People I want more Trump.
People aren't who they seem to be, but I knew. I figured it out way ahead of time.
You know, like faster than anybody ever could.
Anybody ever in the whole world could figure it out. I knew. I already knew because everyone else is stupid. So, anyways, yeah, it just kind of fell flat. Cam was kind of. He was supposed to be the hero of the story, and he just wasn't, like, overly interesting. And they were all just so awful. So it was just, like, there was no characters that I really liked.
One of those books.
Yeah.
But some people like those books where you don't like anyone.
Right.
I usually need someone.
I had to have, like, someone that I like.
Yeah.
Or someone that's at least interesting if they're not likable. So, I don't know. I would say this is maybe a three.
Okay. Fair enough.
Tell me about your book.
I'm sorry. I still can't get over Trump. Sorry. Okay.
I didn't mean to do Trump. It just came out and I was like, that's no, fun.
It made me so happy. Okay. Okay. So I read The Sicilian Inheritance by Joe Piazza.
Okay.
So I think you would like this one because it takes place in Sicily.
Cool.
And so Sarah, whose full name is Serafina, but mm-hmm. she goes by Sarah. Mm-hmm. Her aunt, Rosie, has recently passed away, and she was very, very close to Rosie. And Rosie's kind of like dying wish is for Sarah to take this trip to Sicily that the two of them were planning to take together. And Sarah just like never made time for it, which she feels terrible about. So she's like, okay, clearly I've got to go make this trip happen. So Sarah, a little background on her. She is, I don't know if she's separated or divorced. I feel like she's separated in the midst of a divorce. And she has a small child, maybe like 5.
Okay.
And it was very contentious with her husband because she actually owned a restaurant and like gave all of her time to the restaurant and none to her family. But her restaurant has recently gone south, so she's just not in a good place right now. So she's like, you know what? I'm just picking up and I'm going to Sicily and I'm going on this trip. So when she gets there, she has a note from Rosie that had been sent ahead of time, I think, and she reads it and it says, the real reason I wanted you to go to Sicily is because I want you to find out what happened to my mother.
Okay.
So years ago, when Rosie was a baby, her dad and her 3 brothers and she moved to the United States, but her mother stayed behind supposedly to sell off a piece of land that they had, and okay. then she was going to join them in America, but she never joined them in America.
Okay.
And the story was that she got the flu and passed away. Mm. But Rosie doesn't think this is true.
Okay.
So Serafina is like, okay, well, now I have to go find out what happened. And she also has to deal with this plot of land that she's just learned that she inherited.
Oh, because it never got sold.
It never got sold.
Wow. How crazy. Okay. Can we have a relative
who has a plot of land in Sicily?
Who forgot to sell it.
Right? Yeah. So the other thing is, so Rosie is her, I don't know if it's aunt or great aunt, but anyway, the mother that died,
right?
Her name is also Serafina.
Ah.
And she went by Serafina.
Okay. So, sorry, this is just a little. So, my great grandmother, her name was Josephine Piazza.
Uh huh. Interesting.
Solaria was her married name. But, my, I don't know, some people in the family, like one of my aunts included, always called her Serafina.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know why, but she always called her Serafina.
Interesting. So we have present day Serafina who goes by Sarah, and then we have Serafina in the past, and we hear both of their stories. It's like a dual okay. timeline kind mm-hmm. of thing.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is that basically Sicily is not a safe place for women on their own.
Mm.
That is like
is that true?
I mean, I don't know, but that's like a theme of the book. Like women need to watch their backs in Sicily.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because Serafina, when she is left behind to quote unquote sell this plot of land,
mm-hmm.
like things are not easy for her. And then when Sarah goes to Sicily, there's just some shady characters that like maybe don't want her to have this land, maybe don't want her to be there. And she's kind of, you know, doesn't always feel super safe while she's there.
So wouldn't, especially back then, wouldn't the husband be aware that it would be difficult for her to sell the land by herself?
Yeah, I don't want to say too much about that because okay. it's just an interesting situation. Okay. And it's her land. It's not his.
Okay.
And like it was given to her for a specific purpose.
Okay.
But you learn about all that in the book. He really didn't want to leave without her.
Got it. But so it wasn't like something weird, nefarious with him?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, it was an interesting story. I didn't love the part that Sicily is not safe for women. I don't know if it really is in real life. But I don't know if it's true or if it was just there to kind of add drama to the story, which, you know.
And just background, we both have Sicilian heritage.
Yes. So that's why I'm like, I don't want to hear that Sicily's not safe for me.
Yeah.
When I'm going there in a couple of months, I mean, right. I'll be with 30 people, but
I think you'll be okay.
I think I'll be fine. But yeah, I think, again, you would enjoy it because it was, I mean, obviously it takes place in Sicily. And right. so it's just very interesting from that perspective. Like, And then you get to hear about kind of old world Sicily when our grandparents or great grandparents were living there. My grandparents never lived there, but my great grandparents did.
Me too. Mine as well.
Yeah. Yes. And there's a little bit of like the mafioso connection and all that kind of stuff. So it's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. Anything about Italy and Sicily specifically in a book, I think I would enjoy just because there's so much
history, culture
in my own life.
Right.
So it's interesting to see how that would be if we all still live there.
Oh, yeah. So I am trying to like read as many like Italian, Sicilian books as I can before I go. And I'm trying to learn Italian. So there's these audiobooks you can download, the Pimsleur method. I don't know if you ever heard of that. Mm-mm. But it's basically I don't know. When I was little, my dad used to have these Spanish tapes that he would listen to while he drove. And he would just sit there. And it would be like, say blah, blah, blah. And he would say blah, blah, blah. And it's very similar to that. Mm-hmm. So I'm like walking around the house going, io capisco l'italiano. But I'm not very far in. But I feel like I'm learning it pretty well.
That's very cool.
It's been fun.
Yeah.
Connecting to my heritage right. A little bit. So
we should pick a joint novel. It's like an Italian or Sicilian novel.
Okay. You know, there's a memoir that I can't remember the name of off the top of my head. I have it somewhere in my notes on my phone.
Okay.
And it's a lady that's either from Sicily or she was taking a trip to Sicily. I can't remember. Somebody told me about it at the conference.
Okay.
And she was like, you have to read this.
Okay.
Like, okay.
All right.
So.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah. Maybe we'll that's see. It.
Okay.
All right. The tea that we're drinking. Yeah. It's really good. I didn't know if I would like it. So thank you, Carrie, for sending us this. God, I can't remember. She sent me a package of something, and there was just a couple of tea bags just hanging out in there. I was like, oh, fun. So the brand is Yorkshire Tea. And I guess the flavor is breakfasty toast and jam.
I definitely get the jammy a little bit. It's not overpowering by any means. It's a very dark brew.
Yeah, it is like visibly
smells
dark.
Really good. Like, I feel like if you walked into a store and it smelled like this.
I wasn't sure. Like, I don't like jam or jelly or any of those things. So I was kind of like, oh, I don't know. But it's very, very delicious.
It is. You don't like jam or jelly?
No.
At all? Like, you don't like a raspberry filling in a cake?
Ew, no.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
No, I don't want any of those fruity fillings in my cake.
Really?
Don't ruin the cake like that.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. Interesting.
I suspect it has something to do with the whole, like, mixing things that bothers me about food. I don't know. It's interesting because I taste the jamminess, but I also taste kind of like the buttery yeastiness of toast.
Yeah.
And it works perfectly together. It does. Maybe I need to try toast and jam. I don't know. Maybe I would like it.
You should, but if you do, you have to get good jam. So there's like French jam at the grocery store. It'll say like French on it, and it's like there's specific ones, and they're so much better than just like, don't just get regular jam.
I'm not actually not going to try toast and jam, but.
Well.
Anyway.
Okay.
Maybe someday.
There's so many things that I learned about you. Today I learned that you don't like jam. And I know you don't like sandwiches.
No.
And I know you don't like sushi.
And I don't like fillings in my cakes.
And you don't like fillings in your cake.
Yep.
It's craziness.
Well, I'm sure there's foods that you don't like, so.
Nope. Nope. You know everything about me. I feel like you're withholding. And I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
All right. Let me think of all the other foods I don't like, and I'll give you a list, okay?
All right. Well, on that note.
Cheers.
Cheers. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out the show notes for the full list of books we discussed today. You can find that in your podcast app or on our website, inkdrinkerspodcast.com.
And please support us by subscribing anywhere you listen to podcasts and leaving a review. You can find us on Instagram and on Twitter at inkdrinkerspod.
Cheers.